And I'll reference Michael again. I mean, you know how it was with Michael. And when I heard that phrase, it was just, he saved my life. Like, what? He just sung a song, right? Like, but, you know, take probably one of my favorites, Man in the Mirror. Oh, man, it still gets me. So just from a experience standpoint, and I've done some travels in mental health and, you know, talking to people, I do understand how important music, or how powerful, I should say, music is. So it absolutely feels like that being a musician. And then I think if you're a musician in church, it's, I've had some moments, Jody.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Justin Artis. My next guest is a multifaceted artist, producer, engineer, and indie A&R who bridges creativity with leadership. With 12 albums to his name, his work in sync licensing includes placements with the NBA, alongside agency and microsync representation. His company, A&R In Your Pocket, empowers independent artists with industry knowledge and opportunity. He also inspires audiences worldwide as a keynote concert speaker, teaching leadership through music. As a chronic health warrior, husband, and father of two, he embodies both artistry and perseverance. His name is Justin Artis, and we'll explore his creative journey, the lessons behind the music, and how he believes the music industry can survive and thrive into the future. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available, along with other interesting bits of audio-related news. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. You can leave one either in written or in voice format from the podcast's main page. I would so appreciate that. And now, here's my conversation with Justin Artis. Thank you so much for joining me, Justin. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It is an honor to be here. And as always, I thank God for the opportunity and want to give love to my wife and my two boys, Jason, Jameis. I love you. Jameis, rest in heaven.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear about the parting. That's very sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's purpose in it. So, you know what I mean? It's
well, everything that we go through shapes us.
Exactly. So yeah. The acknowledgement still shows love. And yeah, I know I'm not the only one, right? So
yeah. So I want to start off by asking you if you have an early memory of how sound moved you.
Oh, goody. I feel so honored to be able to answer this question. You know, diving in into the podcast, it's just like that question is just so profound. I think we all just go back, right?
So I find it shapes who we are, really.
Yes, it really does. I kind of want to give like a two-part answer, but I'll be a little different than what I may have said in the past in a similar way or a similar question.
Go for it.
Michael Jackson.
Okay.
I remember, right? That's like all I have to say, right? I remember, I would say I was probably 4 or 5, maybe. It was when the movie came out, Moonwalk. And I used to go to my mom's friend's house, who was in the neighborhood, every day after school and watch that movie. Now, Jody, then I had no desire to be in music. That came like 20 years later. But for some reason or every reason that Michael was who he was, I was just blown away by the precision, his voice. And, you know, Michael has a very different voice. I think that's not maybe as common as you might think, or
it was a lot higher than you expected exactly, it to be, wasn't
register,
it?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but he had so much range and it was still quality. And, you know, shout out to, you know, his father, who just, I mean, he willed them to be perfect, right? But just what he brought to everything that I watched from him dancing, I think even then I recognized sound as something is like, whoa, like, what is this? Remembering when he would drop a music video, like the whole world was shut down, the news, like, you know, and I was
those
just
were
always,
the days.
Yes, I was always just drawn in every second. And I think looking back now, I never realized that I've been studying music since I can remember. So the irony that years later, I would actually, like, it's a profession. My name is actually, artist is my middle name. So, like, all the connections. So yeah, Michael is very special to me. And those of you on the video could probably see him as many greats behind me. But then the second moment that I have to acknowledge is Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. That just changed it all for me. That was the moment that I'm like, I gotta learn how to play guitar. I have to. It's a must. There's no way I can't. Short story, I was playing with a friend I grew up with in high school. We used to write poetry together. He played guitar. He's played that song for me every time. And then this one day, it just, you know, heaven opened up. My heart was full. And it was just like, yo, what is it? Like, you play this all the time, but what is it? And he told me, and I was like, yeah, I gotta learn how to play. And like most people, even though I was probably 16, 17, it was like, mommy, can I get a guitar? And she was like, no. And so shout out to my Uncle Joe, who's no longer with us, and the Branch family for giving me a guitar for my graduation. And I've been playing, I think it's now 23 years. So those are two moments that I definitely, yeah, everything to me, for real.
So your background in music, you got that guitar. What happened from there? Because, I mean, learning guitar is... I hear, because I don't play guitar, but my sister does, I hear that it is hard but easy. So kind of like you can get to the places where you can make music pretty quickly, but
yes,
really getting to a place where you're good at it,
yes,
is something else.
Yes. But shout out to your sister. I think that is a perfect way to say it. It is easy yet very challenging. I've had to explain this to so many people over the years who want to be taught, right? And the first thing I do say is like, yeah, it's pretty easy after you build up your calluses, you know, learning a few chords. Like, you really, like, it does not take much in that sense, right? But you meet so many people who have guitars as decoration. So for me, it was... I mean, I just really jumped in, Jody. Like, once Led Zeppelin just changed my life, it was probably a year or so, maybe two, by the time I actually had my guitar. I don't remember playing my friend's guitar when we would hang out. Potentially, I definitely was probably eyeballing. So I think I was already sizing it up like, oh, this doesn't seem that bad. But he did tell me about the calluses. I think that probably is the hardest thing. And then if you have nails, especially, you know, for women, and I know you guys are, you know, those that, dare I say, even grow them long, but even enough, you know how to maneuver, right? Keyboarding and all that.
But you guitar, can't do that on guitar.
Yeah, it's a little
no,
different.
No, you can't. yeah.
So that, yeah. That, I mean, I kept my nails short, but it was still... just building that strength in your fingers. And I think my desire just, I mean, I think that's what drove me, like it does with most musicians. Like, you want to learn, so you'll be in pain. So yeah, I used to practice. I mean, I did probably the 6 to 8 hours every day. Mind you, I'm in college, so I would go to class, and my other time, free time, I would be learning how to play, reading tabs, you know, learning some of my favorite songs. And literally, before you know it, you're like, okay, I can play C, I can play D, I can play E minor is always like the easiest one. You know, but you can play these simple chords, and then it becomes about strumming. And I think I was probably better when I was younger than I am now. But I've had surgery on my dominant hand, my wrist, and my elbow. So I'm still honestly in rehab. Soloing, I think, took a lot of time. That I honestly didn't think I could ever solo. Of course, you know, I wanted to be Jimmy. Then later when I found out about John Mayer,
any guitar player wants to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But then when I found out about John Mayer, it was like, yo, maybe I could be John. And then you see what John can really do. And it's like, okay, maybe I can't be John either. But, you know, but I think soloing took a longer time for me to, because it's again, the sound that I feel when I play is a connection. It's another voice. You know, I'm not a singer. I can hold the notes, but I'm not a singer. And so I think
it is really, a voice of, yeah, it's a voice of something.
Is.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And so the connection that I had to figure out, not only just like musical stuff in terms of timing and hearing the note in my head and then finding it on the guitar, but it was definitely a feeling. And so before you know it, I could solo a little bit. And you know, years later, even with a bum arm, I was playing yesterday, and it was just a feeling. And so I think as long as you have that, then, you know, you can do it. So everybody who has a guitar that's for decoration is sitting there, I'm telling you, please pick it up, play it while you're watching your favorite show, whatever, you know, the little time adds up. And before you know it, you're like, oh, wait. So.
Yeah, yeah. And like you say, it's spiritually fulfilling to be able to make music.
Really,
actually, they have determined that it opens up pathways in our brain when,
yes,
we do that. Yeah. I just had a fellow on the podcast named Stephen Ridley, and he teaches piano, and he's a fellow from the UK who performs globally. And he has a piano, like a course, like a school, I guess. And he's done some research on this, and it actually prolongs our life to be able to make music. So there you go. You're prolonging your life.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
I think, and I know, music does heal and it saves lives. I used to think that was somewhat corny. I didn't get it. And again, I'll reference Michael again. I mean, you know how it was with Michael. And when I heard that phrase, it was just, he saved my life. Like, what? He just sung a song, right? Like, but you know, take probably one of my favorites, Man in the Mirror. Oh, man, it still gets me. So just from a experience standpoint, and I've done some travels in mental health and, you know, talking to people, I do understand how important music, or how powerful, I should say, music is. So it absolutely feels like that being a musician. And then I think if you're a musician in church, I've had some moments, Jody. So
sure. How does that show up in your life? I mean, you talked about mental health just briefly,
yeah,
there. I know that that music has been really healing for a lot of people who have issues that they want to have,
yeah,
dealt,
yeah,
with. But yeah, how did that show up for you?
For me, I think someone, shout out to everyone that is one dealing with anything, because we all are. But when you're dealing with physical ailments, challenges, is one thing, but when you're dealing with invisible, and so it's all internal, you look great, you sound great, but you're in so much pain or this or that, it can be grueling. I'll share this exclusive, if you will, but two days ago, my nervous system shuts down sometimes with just exertion. You know, a lot of it's due to screens, you know, TV, phone, whatever, talking, anything. But I had a vision that I wanted to play one of my older songs on guitar. Just have the beat, I had the hook, and I wanted to play. As I'm crashing, I mean, I'm shaking Jody a little bit. Like, it's a lot. And all I kept saying was like, dude, I just want to play. I just really want to play. And, you know, my wife didn't say, you need to go lay down. She didn't do that. She let me play. And it was challenging, of course, from the physical aspect, but it felt so good. And of course, I think it's easier that I know who I am as an artist and I'm fluent enough to play or, you know, be on the keyboard or whatever the case is to create. If I wasn't, I don't know if I could really or how well I could do those things and maybe feel the same thing. But again, just listening to my certain go-tos. Just recently, maybe about a month ago, I was on my Alanis Morissette tip. She's like one of my biggest inspirations of, I guess, being an artist.
She's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Jagged Little Pill was my favorite.
She actually has, what do they call it? Highly sensitive people. She's an HSP.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I did the narration for a documentary on her.
Oh, sensitive. Sweet.
And yeah, she's amazing. And what she's had to overcome in order to perform is incredible.
Actually, I do kind of remember this coming back to me a little bit. So yeah, that's, wow. No wonder why I love her.
Yeah. So, I mean, very relatable. I think a lot of us love to make music and it's hard to make music.
Yes. Like people do not know
what
it takes to be on stage. And so I think I mean, it is what it is, but I, if it wasn't for music, I don't think I would be here. Like literally, figuratively, it is that impactful to me. So in these moments that I am challenged and, you know, I'm a full-time musician for the last 6 years. And so of course, just being an entrepreneur anyway, it's the ups and downs, but creatively, man, I couldn't imagine Jody if I didn't have it. Like, where would I be? The headspace, or, you know, take it a step further. If I didn't have access to, I mean, these records, I still have my CDs, right? if I didn't have that, I don't know. I don't think I would be the man that I am. Just honestly, I really don't.
Sure. Yeah. Is there a difference for you between making the music and listening to music?
Ooh.
I'm just wondering if it fulfills something different, or if it heals better or worse,
that is a really good question. I think it is different, but I think some of the same properties are there, right? So I think for me, when I'm creating, there's just this heightened level of creativity, like you said earlier, spirituality, that for me I'm connected to, and I feel that, and it's different, especially when it's like flowing and you're like, I don't know where this came from, but I know where this came from. Right? And I think it's like a side that I'm fulfilling in this moment, you know, whether I'm just playing and practicing or whether I'm actually like making a record for sync or doing a song for an album, like whatever the case is. But then listening, I feel like I get those, it's that word, was it dopamine? Am I saying that right?
Yeah,
Yes. So that's like supercharged, but when listening, it's similar, but it's different. Because for me, it's a level of relaxation but I'm so detailed. Like I said, I've been studying music and I didn't even know I was. So I'm listening to every aspect, you know, given that I'm an artist, producer, engineer. Lyrically, I'm listening. I'm the words, I'm the tone, the inflections, like all of those things. And then production, how do they do this? Wait, this part is now doing that.
It can almost be distracting.
Oh my gosh, sometimes I wish I wasn't me, because sometimes you can't just chill back and just listen. Though I do, and I try to say, hey, Jastin, turn that side off. But I think, again, that's the excitement of understanding like how all these creatives came together to create this song or these songs that flow so well. And I'm a conceptual guy, Jody, so I get
how the songs go together.
And so even on the engineering side, which I guess I wish I could kind of remember a moment going back to just engineering, but when I used to buy CDs, even when I didn't know who it was, just by the cover, and I would put on the headphones and I would hear what the engineer was doing. Oh my gosh, it's like the greatest feeling in the world. So listening, again, it still achieves the same thing. But sometimes, yeah, it's hard to turn off that learning. How did they do that? Oh my gosh, can I do that now? You know what I mean? Even years later, it's like I'm listening and I'm like, wait a minute, what did they do to, you know what I mean? And then other times you just, let me just chill.
I totally get it. I'm a singer, so it's hard for me to listen to music as a recreation. Mm-hmm. I find it really hard because I'll give myself a headache trying to hear the lyrics, trying to figure out what they meant by that, trying to follow this little lyrical thread here. How did they move their voice in that particular way? Yep. Like it just, it'll get me so in the weeds that So for me, like I actually end up like silence for me is calming.
But, you know, you have a great point there, because I think
that is a sound.
Yes, I was going to say it is, but there is a, I don't know, I feel like it's in a different way. But there's something that happens in just the silence, especially when you are, this is your profession in you know, sound. Because oftentimes I have to do the same thing. I don't want to hear another note, bass, 808. Guitar rip, like I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear a vocal. So you have to take breaks. And I think that's something I have learned over the years. But I was going to ask real quick for you, do you enjoy instrumental music, whether it's classical, jazz, lo-fi? Like,
I will actually listen to some lo-fi. I have a few YouTube channels that I'll just tune in every once in a while, like just for the heck of it, you know, and it's just this like little animated character or something moving around on a screen, and it's like nothing. It's constant. It's but the songs change, right? Or instrumental jazz, which I do love. The singing that I do is more like torch singing. Like it's almost more like you know, Lena Horne and Sarah Vaughan and that kind of stuff. So jazzy, like it is jazz, but it's so different stuff like that. And I was raised on pop. I was raised on Michael Jackson and Billy Joel and Joni Mitchell and you know, this kind of stuff. And I mean, so that's where my music went when I first started. But it was kind of like realizing I will never be as good as that. And so I will do what I can and I will make myself feel good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I will share it with people. But then I started focusing on the singing rather than the songwriting. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
The singing, I felt like I could figure out a way to master.
Right. Okay.
Whereas the songwriting for me was kind of like an afterthought, almost.
Gotcha.
Hi, this is Dr. Thomas Dixon, and you're listening to the Audio Branding Podcast, a great place to learn how powerful sound can be. If you want to understand how to harness that power in your own life, keep listening.
Along those lines, I kind of want to ask you about your A&R background, because I know that you work with a lot of other artists. Mm-hmm. So how do you nurture other artists to be the best that they can be?
Ooh, very good question. Well, I like to call being an A&R is like the cool uncle or auntie. Being the manager is the parent. So
yes,
there is some separation there, but no, I mean, I started with, like many people, especially when you start in the dorm rooms, shout out to North Carolina A&T State University, Aggie Pride. You become the person that makes music. But I did realize that I was excited about sharing what I knew and what I was learning. And then before you knew it, I think, you know, being removed from computer science, switching to English and getting that question, oh, you want to teach? And I'm like, no, I don't. I was a teacher.
Oh my God. Someone else who said the same thing.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh yeah. My gosh. I am constantly asked that question and I constantly say no.
Jody, I mean, so I'm a twin and shout out to my sis. It's kind of similar to that where you get like those same twin questions. Usually the first is, does he look like you? And I always, no, she doesn't. Or yes, she does, right? So getting past that, but still like, man, maybe I do like teaching. And I think the bigger part for me was development. That's something that, again, I studied watching artists as I guess just being a fan of music. One person that comes to mind is Pink. I remember when she first came onto the scene and she was like this R&B pop, and then we see where she is now. Now, I thought she was dope in that genre, but when her second album came out and she was doing a bit more rock pop, I was like, oh, but watching that evolve.
She has a voice on her.
Oh my gosh,
my God.
Right?
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
She's amazing.
So just, I guess, getting all that connecting and just learning about artist development and what it means, is clearly not the same as it used to be. And I feel like that's where I kind of, that's where I feel the void is still trying to keep that development and growth. I was just telling someone today, what good is it learning music production and writing and all this other stuff, or even having a viral post now, or if you do ever achieve a hit song, but you don't know how to run your business.
Oh, that is such
right?
a good point.
Like,
yeah.
it just, we're in a
if
space.
You're not prepared.
Exactly. What good is it if you get these things that you say that you want, but you're not ready to actually handle it? I was just talking to an artist recently this week, and I think the conversation was just more or less, they were achieving, working on their nutrition and things. And they were like, oh, I don't really want to do it, whatever. And I said, listen, you say you want to be this star, you want to do this, right? But if you can't do an hour set or 2 hours, what are we talking about? Right. And so this is where I come in. This is where I'm able to fill the void to change the mindsets of the artists in today's time, regardless of how old, genre. It's just really important to me to shift that old
mindset?
Way of thinking. Yeah. And thinking that if I have this, then I don't have to do that. I'm like, even A-list artists still grow and develop in all areas of their business, which is why they are who they are and legendary and these things. But we don't want to work for it. We don't want to learn outside of the creative aspect. And I feel that's where, you know, even without a number one hit or anything, but shout out, we just achieved 500,000 streams on Spotify to my guy, Damian Lewis.
Congratulations.
God got me. So regardless of what the accolades are, you still got to do the work. And that's what I want to encourage, you know, my fellow artists and creatives, period, because creatives are leaders. So we have to lead in every aspect, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like what you're doing is teaching of a sort. It's just yes. the sort it, that you want to
Jody,
do.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. I love the kids, yeah. Jody. I love them, but I couldn't, after a while, I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it. Shout out to my teachers out there. Shout out to them.
So for an artist who wants to do the work and be successful, what would you suggest that they do these days? Because, wow, have things changed since Michael Jackson's day?
Absolutely. Well, first I'll say, you know, come find me. Let's talk. Let's work together, hopefully, right? If there's synergy, we can move forward, right? So for me, I'll try to make this condensed, but I think there's a lot of work that has to be done, just like there is when you're learning your instrument, when you're, you know, learning how to put, how you put a song together, right? I remember even as a songwriter, I don't remember the book, but it was like, learn how to do it right before you learn how to do it your way. And so—
Yeah, learn the rules before you break them. Yeah.
And so I think that is hugely important, no matter like where the artist, where they are. So if you're good in creating your music, you're good at putting the album together or EP or single, then figure out where you need to focus, right? And I have another thing that I say over these years is like, and this was for me, you know, talking to me first, right? What good is it when you're talking about, oh, I want royalties, but you haven't signed up for your PRO or you don't have a bank account?
That's a business like, thing that people need to pay attention
to.
Yeah,
right? So,
yeah.
Or
business-wise, though, like what would you suggest an artist make sure they have behind them before they get that success?
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.